Which is a more likely reunion, Vinny? Mauricio Pochettino and Tottenham or Vinny Perth and Dundalk?
There was the setup. I see it.
OTB AM. Weekdays from 7:30 AM. Listen on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Quick Start Car Insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at getsetgo.ie.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. Fake crowd noise? The Emirates never sounded so good. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Now, you're very welcome back. So happy to welcome to the show Mr. Roddy Doyle. He is a Chelsea fan. There would have been a time, Roddy, where I would have described you as a long-suffering Chelsea fan, but I think five league titles, two Champions Leagues and 17 trophies since 2003 means long-suffering no more.
No. And I think I've been to a few of the finals, and the last time we were in the Champions League final, I thought we kind of robbed it. It was great to win, but whether it was deserved or not is another thing, but it didn't really matter. But this time around, I didn't really expect it to go the way it did, and watching it turn out the way it did was just wonderful, you know? And I remember when in 1970, when they won the FA Cup and I was 12, and it was the best day of my life. I remember charging out into the back garden when we won the replay, first ever FA Cup replay. And it was amazing. And I felt, now I didn't charge out into the back garden on Saturday night. You know, the charging days are over, I think, but I wanted to. that's the main thing. But it felt just a little bit like that because they were just so good, you know. I was absolutely delighted. It was brilliant.
And so at this stage of your life, your relationship with Chelsea, it's still as life-affirming and seismic when these moments happen, is it, as ever?
Oh, yeah, I think so. And I think there's something about football during the pandemic. It has meant more to me, really, than I ever thought it would. You know, I love football. When the season's on, I'm, you know, constantly looking at how scores are going. And no matter, you know, if it's League Two, I'm having a look at some of the teams that I'd have a bit of a graw for. So it's always there. And I think when the Bundesliga started again in May of last year, I found it really moving, you know, the fact that the football was moving again. It was, you know, and it really has fed me, I think, in a way, over the last year.
Nice.
You know?
Nice.
And it was great. I mean, there's the excitement always, a new manager, as in Frank Lampard, you know, and new players, and then, you know, it's going a bit belly up, and then there's a new man in. And the whole notion 3 months ago that we would have been in the Champions League final, and not only that, but win the thing, is just close to absurd. So, you know, it's been incredible.
Yeah, pretty impressive 124 days work on Thomas Tuchel's part, I think we could say. What is it about football that still grabs you, I suppose, or nourishes you, to use your phrase? For some, it's the drama and it's the soap opera and it's the characters and the interviews. Others, it's just the enjoyment of watching 90 minutes of football, and they hate all the other nonsense that goes with it.
The nonsense, I mean, yeah, it's about watching the game, really, and it's the utter unpredictability of it. Like Alisson's goal, you know, I'd rather he hadn't scored it in a way, because it would have made life easier for me for the, you know, in the last week before the final games. But I don't think there's any other sport that could deliver something like that, you know. And I love watching the game. I much prefer to be there watching it, but it's good on telly as well. But it is the game itself and the way players position themselves. And at my age, when you see a sub coming on, and if you like, his face is in repose, he hasn't started running yet, and he looks like a child. And then he's on the pitch and he's a man, you know. There's something, I don't know, I never noticed that, obviously, when I was a child myself, because they were men.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, Some of the players now, you hear a name that sounds familiar and you realise, in the case of, say, Darrell Furlong, oh yeah, his dad used to play for Chelsea years ago. You know, one of the first memories I have listening to a match, West Ham were playing, and I had the radio in my bedroom, you know, top bunk, and I was trying to get a good reception. And when I finally got a good reception, Harry Redknapp was being sent off. You know, so it's hard to imagine the man we see now on the telly. He was a footballer when I when I started, you know, an interest in football. So I don't know. It works on whole different levels. I do find it. I lose patience with the punditry. You know, there's too much of it, I think. A lot of nonsense. I'm listening to, you know, Glenn Hoddle going on about the little pockets and the little channels and the little this and the little that. And, you know, then you hear gobshites in the pub. In fact, you know, we will hear them again, but it's, you know, obviously it's a while. And they're all amateur pundits and, you know, it's the systems and that. But really, I do think there are times when having a move explained to you by somebody who actually knows what's going on is useful. It's the football itself, it's the game itself, it's and the camaraderie, you know, it's sharing it with so many people, your closest friends since childhood and people you don't know, you know, so it works on many levels. But yeah, it certainly worked on Saturday night anyway, that's for sure.
It's a very striking image you paint of trying to get a good radio signal to catch Harry Redknapp's red card. And I know, I think you first started supporting Chelsea after the 67 FA Cup final, one of the few games actually on TV. So talk about from famine to feast, like that ritual of like Saturday 3 o'clock or certain games being on.
Yeah, like every match was on at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. And now here we are where every match ever is on at every hour ever. So, I mean, are you spending 50 hours a week watching all these matches?
No, I pick and choose. Yeah. I pick and choose. And I do think there's too much of it. And there's too much focus on the managers, I think, and the coaches. You know, I think largely because I think a lot of people who watch the football are middle-aged men. And they can't aspire to be footballers, but they can aspire to be the guy at the side of the pitch shouting and gesticulating and wearing a suit or a tracksuit, you know, depending on their own.
Yeah,
their own shape, basically.
on the Chelsea thing, so 1971, I think, through to the FA Cup of 97. That's 26 years of winning sod all, and I think even been relegated a few times. And
And close to the top, what would have been the third division,
right?
A game away.
So has there been a sweet spot? Maybe the stupid question. Maybe the sweet spot's right now. We've won two Champions League in 9 years. But Abramovich has come on board and spent all this money and five league titles and all the success. Has there been a sweet spot for you where it was just the right amount of success or the right balance, where there was still some novelty and romance? Or what's been your favourite time as a Chelsea fan?
Well, I was at the FA Cup final in 1997.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you know, the game started and you're just parking your arse on the seat and we were 1-0 up.
The Di Matteo goal, wasn't it?
Yeah. And where I was sitting, I didn't even get a good view of the goal. It didn't really, I have to go home and watch it later on Match of the Day. You know, but it was unbelievable. You know, considering there was a quarter century since we'd won anything. We were in the League Cup final in 1972 and were beaten by Stoke, which is hard to imagine now, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But since after that, nothing. And but I was there and it was just extraordinary. It was just, you know, absolutely brilliant. And in Stockholm, I with a friend of mine, John Sutton, we went to Stockholm the following year. And again, not a great game, nil all. Zola came on and immediately scored a goal. And life was suddenly wonderful. So I think really, It was like a bit of a reflection of what it had been like when I was 12, FA Cup, Cup Winners' Cup. This time around, FA Cup, Cup Winners' Cup. So it was like it had come full circle. Mm. And this was before Abramovich bought the club. But and I think retaining the premiership was fantastic under Mourinho, the first, you know, retaining it. Because if somebody said to me, a good team, a very good team can win the premiership, a great team retains it. And they did really. And it looked as if that would go on for quite a considerable time, really. Mm. So they're high points, but I got, there's something about this season. I think it's something about being locked in and, you know, not being able to go to the games. But at the same time, the sheer madness of the, you know, the fact that West Ham seemed to flourish without fans. Liverpool seemed to suffer without fans. I think the artificial sounds were terrible. I don't know if you watched Bundesliga on the telly, but it, you got the impression that every fan in Germany chants the same inane chant right through. It was awful. So, but the sheer unpredictability of it really was just absolutely, who'd have expected Liverpool to be so bad? Who would have expected Chelsea to win the Champions League and actually deservedly? It was amazing.
Were you a frequent, or have you been a frequent visitor to Stamford Bridge then from when you first started supporting them?
In recent years, i.e. the last 20 years, yeah, 3, 4, 5 times a year I'd go over. In very recent years, about 5 times a year, yeah. A couple of times at Wembley, mostly Stamford Bridge, Goodison, Anfield. Been to quite a few of the Premiership grounds, but mostly Stamford Bridge. I went a few times in the late 70s, and it was very unsettling, you know, not a great experience. 1978, they were relegated at the end of the season anyway, but I went to see them play Leeds, and the atmosphere was poisonous, you know, it was really... and it wasn't the hostility between the fans that I found poisonous. That's okay. But when you came out of the tube station, immediately it was the horses, the police horses, and you went through basically a tunnel of police horses. And there was fights breaking out all over the place constantly, including during the match, you know. So it was hard. And I'm not a fighter. Never wanted to be near a fight, you know, just wanted to watch the football. And it was hard. It was actually hard to concentrate. Bad and all as it was, we lost 3-1. So I stayed away I started going again in the mid 80s, late 80s, and then pretty regularly then since. I go to, I have a season ticket with Bohemians.
Yeah, I was reading that. Yeah. And I think, are you honorary president or chairman as well at Kilbarrack United?
Kilbarrack United. I am honorary president of Kilbarrack United. Yeah, I tell you, it's an exhausting role. I'm like the Queen. I have to go and wave on a regular basis.
And so in the 90s, is that when going to those games and Stamford Bridge became a safer, nicer environment?
Safer, definitely. Nicer, yeah, because...
Chelsea fans did have a reputation.
They did have a reputation. And, you know, I was at several games in the 70s where Chelsea's first black player, Paul Cannavill, was playing. And it was actually hard to stand and witness what was being shouted at him, you know, the abuse he was getting from his own fans. And now he's a legend, you know, loved by fans of a certain age and remembered with great fondness by fans of a certain age. So things have changed. I mean, in the time I've been going, I think there was once at a Spurs match, somebody behind me shouted something really vile and people around me reacted. You know, so you can't say that, you can't do that. So basically he was bullied into shutting up. So the atmosphere is different. You know, it's not to say that racism isn't there, but I personally haven't, except for that one event, I haven't witnessed it. And that certainly wasn't the case in the 70s, you know. So it is a nicer atmosphere. It's a, what would you say? Nicer is such a bland word, isn't it really, Joe? It'll do. It'll do.
Yeah. No, I think people take your meaning, your point. Because actually we've Pat Nevin on the show routinely, and I think he stood up when that racist abuse was happening at the time. I know he spoke out about it at the time.
Yeah, I'm reading his book at the moment. Thoroughly enjoying it.
Are you? Good. He'll be delighted with that. Yeah. He'll be delighted with that.
So he was brilliant.
Yeah, I know. I I've come to him latterly because we have him on the show and I watch him on YouTube, and the intelligence kind of radiated off him and the cleverness. And he told us a beautiful story. His dad used to come down and watch him all the time, and his dad had to get the train back to Scotland before he could hang out with Pat after the game, you know. And so Pat's way of saying hello to his father was, at some stage in the game, he would try and beat every player on the pitch. And he'd either get a shot off or score a goal or lose the ball, but then he'd put his hand in the air. And that was his private way of saying hello to his dad in the stands, which is kind of a lovely thing. Mm.
It's a pity, isn't it, a pity that he isn't playing now?
Yeah. He was a bit before his time.
With the quality of the pitches and things like that, he'd be even better. You know, he wouldn't be, dribbling through mud.
So all the money and the oligarch and the, you know, oil state money and, you know, the way football is now, that obviously hasn't soured the thing for you. So what is it about, say, this Chelsea group with this, you know, multilingual manager and these group of players expensively assembled? What is it about them that kind of grab you or touch you? Is it certain individuals, or I don't know, is it a link to your childhood? Or
yeah, the link to the childhood is definitely there. And finally, you know, when the whistle blows,
yeah.
The old teacher in me, when the whistle blows, it doesn't really matter who earns what, because you know the best of these players would play for nothing, you know.
Mm.
Quite rightly, they're being well played because you know, there's a lot of money being made, and why shouldn't they make a chunk of it? But when you see them then playing, there are some that you begin to really, really like Kante, you know, the twins, as some of the fans call them.
it's outrageous. It's a great name. I hadn't realized that. That's great.
Yeah, and this distinct way of moving, you know, and that smile of his, and the fact that, you know, he was in the lower divisions of the French League 10 years ago. And even I've become very fond of our keeper, Mendy.
Mm.
The fact that he was unemployed for a spell. He also looks a bit like a kid I taught in my early days of teaching, which I found, you know, makes me fonder of him again, you know. So, but they all seem to be like a nice bunch of kids, really. Mm. And even, you know, Thiago Silva, I know he's 36, but, you know, he's slightly more than half my age, so he's a kid to my eyes as well. So they all seem... So it's all about the players, really. And, you know, the effort they put in, and those that can keep on going, like Cesar Azpilicueta, who wasn't getting the game with Frank Lampard, and suddenly, you know... He gets a game first time Tuchel when Tuchel is manager, and he hasn't been off the pitch since, and he's brilliant, you know. So it's the players, really.
Yeah.
And I think I don't have much interest in the sideline stuff, you know.
That's really interesting. So many people are into it, and like when we talk with Pat and Evan later on, the first thing I'm talking about is Pep's team selection and all that sideline stuff. It's really interesting. You just like, there's all the noise and I take a passing interest in it, but just give me the game.
I'm at a match, I'd never look at the sideline. I couldn't care less.
Right. Would you have been enthralled in like the RTE panel in its heyday?
Oh yeah.
Because that was just box office.
Yeah, and it's kind of, it has never been, I mean, I think the RTE do a great job, I think, but I can't think of any panel on any channel that was ever as good as them.
Mm.
And given the freedom that they had, that they could just talk on and on and on. I mean, it's not that I have no interest in the managers and coaches. Look, I was hoping, you know, coming up to Saturday, and I said it several times, and it was said several times to me, I just hope Pep over intellectualized and fair play to him. He delivered. He did exactly what one would have wanted him to do, you know. Brilliant. I mean, even the sideline, I don't know if you noticed when Chelsea were playing Real Madrid, you know, the camera was on the central defender for Real Madrid, the legendary guy who wasn't playing that night.
Yeah, Sergio Ramos.
They spent more time on him.
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't playing, than they did on the guy who was playing. You know, nonsense, really.
One last quick point, or two, very quickly. I don't meet many Chelsea fans. So, how many of you are out there across this little three. Island of ours?
Seven. quite a few, actually.
Quite a few, okay.
It used to be people would sidle up to you and say it secretly to you, you know, with a vague shame. I'm a Chelsea fan. A bit like being a Catholic during the penal law times, I think, you know. But there are quite a few, yeah. Yeah, I don't have a number. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's lots of Johnny Come Latelys now, post 2003, who are all aboard. Somebody wanted to know who your favourite all-time Chelsea player was.
Charlie Cook.
I'm not. Should I know Charlie Cook?
You should. Yeah.
Should I?
Yeah. Actually, you should be ashamed of yourself if you have to ask me that question. No, he played late 60s, 70s. He was on the team that won the FA Cup in 1970. Have a look at Peter Osgood's goal. And the build-up to Peter Osgood's goal, and you see Charlie Cook.
And what was it about Charlie Cook?
Well, he kind of played where Pat Nevin played, you know, down the wing, flying past people.
Scottish?
Yeah, brilliant player. Really, really brilliant. And he went away to Crystal Palace and he came back. Right. And he was just brilliant, you know. So he was my, I think possibly... In terms, you know, that notion of, you know, I think only children should have heroes. I don't think adults should have heroes, but I think he was possibly my only real hero when I was a kid. I think I'm not altogether sure whether that's true, but he certainly was a hero of mine when I was a child.
Okay, we'll ask Pat Nevin about him later on, and he might probably remember him as well. So, listen, thanks so much for coming on and chewing the fat about Chelsea.
That's a pleasure.
What's another Champions League? So, you know, it's good times forevermore, I think. What's Thomas Tuchel going to do next year? That's the interesting question all of a sudden.
Get sacked is my bet before Christmas.
Yeah, well, that's the reality, isn't it? Does that bother you, that merry-go-round thing, that kind of...
Sometimes. No, the only time I really felt I've had it was when the announcement a couple of months back, I can't even remember the name of the breakaway group. What was it called?
Oh, yeah, the European Super League.
I thought, no, I'm not going there. So that's the only time where I felt enough was enough. But you kind of accept it. Once it started, you kind of accept that no manager's going to stay long.
Yeah.
But it's never boring. When you reach my stage in life, you can't afford to be bored. You know, it's kind of automatic. It's expected of you to be bored. But, you know, you can't afford to be bored. So being a Chelsea fan probably takes about 25-30 years off my actual age.
Very good.
Except during the summer when there's no football.
Very good. Roddy Doyle, pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. Fake crowd noise. The Emirates never sounded so good. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Quick Start Car Insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at getsetgo.ie.